As we continue today with more celebrities, we have Danny Bonaducci with us. You probably know the show Danny. Well, he's the host of it. It's coincidental, I guess, that hired him only because his name was Danny and it fit in with the format of the show. Is that pretty much correct?
That was actually a major discussion point. It's actually Danny exclamation point. And we figured we needed some punctuation, but I was kind of rooting for a comma myself. Kind of Danny comma, like something else might come along.
You did comma.
But they didn't go for it.
Danny, any kind of punctuation would have been good.
Yeah, you know, Danny question mark, like, Danny, is he going to come to work today? But they went with Danny exclamation point.
You know, it seems you will never, ever escape being Danny Partridge. As a matter of fact, when we mentioned we were going to have you on, I said, you know, the talk show host, Danny Partridge is going to come on.
You know what? I don't really want to escape being Danny Partridge. I know a lot of Partridges or Bradys or Cleavers or any other TV kids that grew up on TV want to escape, you know, like it was some kind of jail sentence. I had a lot of fun being the guy from the Partridge Family. I liked it.
Yeah, well, it was a good time for you. How old were you when you started that show?
I was about 10 through 14 or 15 years old.
And you had a lot of fun?
Yeah, it was great. It was, you know, I mean, it was a fair amount of work for a kid. But, I mean, it's still great. You know, you go to a party, it's a major icebreaker to have been a Partridge. You know, it's as good as standing by the onion dip for a conversation starter.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I was always a big Partridge Family fan, and I always had a crush on Susan Day.
You were both, buddy.
Did you have a crush on her, too?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Did she ever give you the time of day?
Never did. Well, I mean, as a nice lady, but you got to remember, I was a kid and she was a grown-up.
Yeah.
That would have been gross.
That would have been cool, actually.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
So you did harbor those feelings, though, toward Susan Day.
Oh, absolutely. I think we all did at one point or another.
What about David?
I never harbored those feelings about David. No. Thank you for asking.
I was referring to David and Susan.
Oh. You know, I'm sorry, I'm a daytime talk show host. I just think those ways.
Yeah, I understand that.
I didn't know until recently when I read David's book that apparently there was a slight relationship there, but it didn't really work out. And so I guess they kind of liked each other for a while. I don't really know.
Yeah, based on the book, though.
Yeah.
I mean, was it a lot of fun on the set? Dave Madden and Shirley Jones?
Who played Reuben Kincaid, was one of my best friends growing up. I still talk to him all the time. Although we did on my talk show, we did a Partridge Family reunion. And I got to tell you, Dave got big. Dave's real large now. I still talk to him on the phone all the time. He's a great guy.
Yeah. We had him on our show. He was really, really nice, too.
Yeah, he's very funny. He's a wonderful man.
As was Shirley Jones and her wild and crazy husband, Marty.
Marty Ingalls. He was off probation, was he?
Yeah.
Me, too.
Yeah, well, that's true. You know, it was very interesting you mentioned that, because during your show today, you were talking to Beverly Hurd.
Right.
Who suffered some scandal. And you said to her, you know, scandals are only a temporary situation. I am a proof. I have gone through a couple of them.
Right. I am the king of scandals, actually. Mm-hmm. But what I believe I said to her, although I think that show was a repeat, I told her a couple of things from personal experience, and that is that, you know, if you can weather the storm, I mean, if you do something in public, there's certainly going to be a reaction. But if you can weather the storm and take the appropriate measures to, you know, change your life, although I don't really think she did that much. You know, she was really a victim. I don't know how she got so scandalized. But, you know, I went out and I made a bunch of mistakes, and I was the guy from the Partridge Family, and then I ended up a big loser drug addict in Hollywood. And people got real mad at me for it, and I worked real hard, and I changed my life, and now, you know, I've got my own TV talk show. Scandals are, you know, only go on as long as you let them.
But it's interesting to note, though, that a lot of people have scandals, and when I was talking to Todd Bridges and also a few other people, they said to me that the American public loves to build their heroes, but they even enjoy it more to destroy them.
That's, you know, that's possibly true, but, you know, that also sounds a little bit bitter to me. There is some truth to that theory, but, you know, I know Todd very well, and I wish him the best, but I really think a lot of people that grew up on television ended up having some problems. really kind of copped out and blamed their problems on being on television. And I must tell you, when I was getting high, it wasn't with the Brady kids. You know, it was with my neighbor and the gas station attendant. I think there's a national epidemic that should bears out some closer investigation, but I think the problem starts with Johnny can't read, not Johnny has his own sitcom.
Why do you think it is that you ended up into that drug sector?
Who knows? There's a million excuses. I would have to go with lack of character. Who knows why? I mean, when I went to rehab, I was the only ex-child star there, and there were 9 dentists. You know, nobody asked these guys if they were ex-child dentists. So I've got to assume that you get into this kind of lifestyle for whatever you get into it for. I mean, there are really representatives from all walks of life at the rehab I attended. So I really have no answers for you on that.
Mm. Now, I know that just by watching your show, that you are so much in love with your wife. Was your wife one of the people who kind of rescued you from all this?
My wife was the person who rescued me from this. You know, everything that I do, and right now I must admit things are going extraordinarily well for me, but everything that I do is just a representation of her hard and good works. I mean, really, she married... 6 years ago, she married one of the nastiest guys you could ever imagine, one of the biggest loser, drunk, no work ethic kind of people you could imagine, and she built a really good husband. I take great pride out of all the things that I've been able to do. I take great pride, and the most pride, in being a really good husband and father. And she made that guy. She built that guy.
Mm. That's interesting. I one of the things you said on the show today, I know it was a repeat, but it really hit me. You said you wished you could have been a virgin so you could have given her that as one of kind of a gift.
Well, we were talking, we were doing a show about, and we had some guests on who were, and I would, it's not a conviction that I would have had before the show. It's nothing I had ever thought of. Gee, I wish I had saved myself. That never occurred to me. But we had these people on who were actually actively doing that. They were saving themselves for marriage. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Okay, let's ask you a couple of questions about it. And the way they talked about it, about being the ultimate gift they could give when they get married, it just, I kind of opened my mouth and out it came, where I just said, boy, I wish I could have done that for my wife. You know, so that's the thing about, I don't know about the other talk show hosts. A lot of them seem to act like they're doctors or psychiatrists. I walk out there with absolutely no answers every single day. And sometimes, you know, that stuff just kind of spills out. You just see something you really like, and something like that will just come out of your mouth.
You know, we've been mentioning that we're going to be interviewing you for a couple of days now, and one of our callers called and said to me, you know, I have a single by Danny Bonaducci. I said, no, I don't think he was a singer. She said, up, oh, it's called Dreamland. Dreamland. I have it.
I was lost in Dreamland as the A side, and I believe the B side would be Blueberry You.
I have never heard it. Tell us a little bit about the song and how you came to be singing.
You know what? I barely come to sing it. There's a really talented singer and songwriter singing quite loudly behind me named Bruce Roberts. I was about 12 years old, and some marketing guy thought, hey, here's a way to make some money. Let's do a song with Danny Partridge. So it's really, your first instincts were right. I was never a singer, but your caller was also right. I did put an album and a single out.
Yeah, there is an album out, too.
There was, yeah. Danny Bonaducci, and it had a big sticker on it. I've seen weekly on the Partridge Family.
I would assume that that must be a collectible at this point.
I would assume so, too, although I have a calendar from Rhino Records. You know that company?
Sure.
And they marked some date. I don't remember what date it is. As an anniversary of when they paid people a nickel to take a Danny Bonaducci album. But I think by now it may be a collector's item.
You know, it's interesting that you've gone through all this yourself as a former child star. Are you in touch with any other child stars? Have you tried to help people who are in that situation?
Well, you know, I try, and it's kind of an obligation you have. I try and help anybody I come across, but I don't certainly target, you know, ex-child stars any more than I would target, you know, I mean, you've got all sorts of people with problems. I think it'd be a bit obtuse to target people who are in show business.
Mm.
You know, anybody that comes across my path and is, uneasy to contact. I still do my radio show 4 hours a day. Everybody can write to the TV show as well. So, I help anybody I can with kind words or, with some information that, I know where to go. A lot of people don't know where to go or what to do. Just from having gotten out of that lifestyle, I actually kind of know the first steps to help yourself. So, I help whoever I think I can.
Well, I would think that especially people who are getting into show business who really don't know what's going to happen to them, the young kids, it'd be nice to talk to someone like yourself who can teach them the ins and outs, show them that there can be problems, but that they can be beaten.
Yeah, I actually get a lot of calls from parents saying that, my 8-year-old has an audition today, what should they do? And then that turns into, another kind of conversation. So, yeah, I do get that every now and again.
Mm. Now, how long actually have you been in show business? Were you in before Patrick Schwimmer?
Yeah, I started with like the Andy Griffith Show and then Bewitched, and my dad is a television writer. He was writing the Dick Van Dyke Show and then wrote me into an episode of The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. So I've been doing it, I think, I'm 36 years old and I think I've been a member of the Screen Actors Guild for 30 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were some of your memories of those early sitcoms you were on?
Well, it's funny because for some reason, I actually remember my lines from Bewitched. I couldn't have been more than 7 years old. And my name was Danny again for some reason, another coincidence, I guess. And Samantha Stevens looks at me on a Tabitha's birthday party, and she says, "Danny, don't hit Tabitha in the stomach." And I say, "Well, then where should I hit her?" That was my line from Bewitched. I don't know why I remember that. And Paul Lynde, Uncle Arthur, was the magician, and he had a beautiful magician's assistant. I remember that quite well.
Now, did the Tabitha turn you into something?
No, I just was a kid at the birthday party. It was just an innocuous little thing.
I would think that would be a real trip, though, for a kid that age to be on a show like that.
Well, you know what? It's a trip when it comes on TV, and it comes and it goes in a flash, and your friends sat and you talk about it at school the next day. When you do it, there's a tutor on the set, you're going to school, there's a lot of cameras, there's a lot of action, it seems hard, it's not a lot of fun for a kid. A set is not a fun place. It's a workplace.
Right. But still, if you're hanging with people that you might recognize or might know because you've watched them on TV,
right,
I would think that's kind of a trip for a young kid.
It really is, but I have always wanted to reach out to touch the movie stars, but always kind of miss them a little bit. Because now that I've been in radio for, 10 years now, I have met a bunch of celebrities, as obviously you have just from our conversation today. I was, Stiller and, the people you have mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The celebrity status wears off rather quickly, and they just become people within 10, 15 minutes, don't you think?
Oh, definitely, even less than that.
Yeah.
In fact, you have to approach them as people or else you can't do an interview correctly.
I agree with you because I get very starstruck at first, and sometimes when I'm doing an interview, I interviewed, who did I interview not too long ago? Arnold Schwarzenegger, when True Lies first came out,
And
I stammered and I stuttered and I didn't ask any of the good questions. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, I try to treat it like I was sitting in my living room with them just talking.
I'm sitting in my living room right now, and I'm in my underwear
and
my wife's bathrobe, so I don't know if that would work for me.
That's something I didn't really need to know, but that's okay. It's been said and written that when you're having some of your problems, that David Cassidy helped you out. Is that true?
Yes, it is completely true. What David did is, I had gotten married and was on my way to recovery, I guess, but I had damaged my reputation so badly that nobody was going to give me a job, and David gave me a job as his opening act on a concert tour when he was making his concert, I guess, comeback, if you will, before he went to Broadway. And what that really did for me was not only gave me a chance to show up places clean and sober, but we'd go to, say, Des Moines or something, and you'd do "Good Morning, Des Moines," and you'd be funny a couple of times and clean-shaven and on time.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually what happened was I showed up at a radio station in Philadelphia, but coincidentally my hometown, did the morning interview to promote the upcoming concert. They asked me to come back the next day and do celebrity weather or some such thing, and the next thing I know, they hired me, and I was co-hosting a morning show in a top 10 market, and I've been doing radio steadily ever since.
We're going to take a break right now, and as we go to break, we'll listen to a piece of the Danny Show. It's on Channel 38 here in Boston, WSBK-TV, every day at 9 a.m. Good. Made a little silence there. That's good. That's why I need to break this thing up.
Right.
And we're going to come back right in again, because we're actually not taking the break right now because we're taping it.
Right.
So... And welcome back to That's Life with Mark Snyder, New England's only daily entertainment talk show. My guest again is Dini Bonaducci, and I want to talk to him a little bit about how he landed this gig. And many people have said that talk TV is trash. What is your show like?
My show is hopefully entertaining. That is the first and foremost thing on my mind, is that I am an entertainer. This is television. I have no... special degree. I'm an English lit major, for God's sake. I have no special information to be, critiquing people's lives. I come out there with the hopes of entertaining. If something more than that happens, that's great. But my first and foremost job is as an entertainer and a TV talk show host. Nothing more, nothing sacrosanct, just a TV talk show host. And I'll tell you something that maybe you'll find interesting. A lot of people say that a lot of these talk shows are trash. I couldn't agree more. I disagree with, I think you're talking about like William Bennett, who says these shows are responsible for the decline of Western civilization.
He pretty much branded them as such.
And they're sexually exploitative, and he's completely right. Of course they are. Where I disagree with him is that don't bother me about it. If that's what I want to watch in the privacy of my own living room, I most certainly will. Now, I, on the other hand, I work for Disney. My TV show is a Disney TV show. So you can be pretty confident that we're not going to be doing a show that you'd see on Richard Bay the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But, where Richard Bay, who is a friend of mine, by the way, may do a show that I would never consider doing. And I'd even go as far as to say, and the only reason I feel comfortable saying this is because, as I said, Richard is a friend of mine. Some of his shows I find appalling. But I also applaud his right to do them and my right as a viewer not to watch that day.
That's true. I mean, all you have to do is either change the channel or shut your TV off.
Absolutely. And the sponsors, Procter & Gamble, the biggest sponsor in daytime TV, and I think they're followed by Sears, has pulled off a dozen shows. They're not advertising on a dozen shows. That's a wonderful way to change what's on television. You either change your channel or don't buy the product of what sponsors on the show, and you'll change television.
Of course, that smacks of censorship, which I don't like.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. That's why I say change your channel, but leave me to watch what I will.
Now, in your show, what are some of the topics, and do you ever do like just straight celebrity interviews on the show?
Not really. I would like to. I'd like to do more of that. I'd like to Mike Douglas it up a little bit, if you will. Remember the old Mike Douglas show?
Sure. It was a good show.
That was a great show. And, Letterman had a daytime show.
Yeah, it didn't make it, but
it died a miserable death.
Yeah.
But it really died a horrible death, Mark.
Very quick one.
But it not quick enough. But people rallied and said this guy is really talented, and sure enough, he ended up with a nighttime show.
Yeah.
So I would like to do some more of the celebrity stuff, and we were talking about it just yesterday. Who would I really like to talk with?
Who would you really like to talk with?
As I said, I'm a huge celebrity fan. I'd like to talk with... I just read that book and interviewed the author. I think his name's Michael Gross. I'm not sure. The guy he wrote the book Model.
Yeah, Michael Gross. He's been on the show, too.
Yeah, he's been on my show, too. Mm-hmm. I'd like to interview some of the supermodels and fashion photographers, see what's going on in that world. I'd like to talk to Tom Arnold because I've had him on my radio show several times, and he's a real good interview. I'd love to have Letterman on. I'd like to interview some of the other talk show hosts.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to interview Oprah. that would be, you know, not only has she led just a fascinating life, if you take what she says at her word, she grew up, started in the slums of Baltimore, I believe.
She was an abused child.
An abused child, had did some drugs, and now is the most powerful woman, if not one of the top five most powerful people in show business. Worth something like $500 million.
Mm.
That's got to be a fascinating ride.
I would think so.
What's going on in her head has to be fascinating.
You're right. There's a lot of stories like that, from Jerry Springer being the mayor of Cincinnati and doing what he's doing, to Jenny Jones and her problem with her breast implants.
Right.
Everybody's had a story.
Well, we did a show called The Ex-Loves of Talk Show Hosts, and we had on Oprah's high school sweetheart and Jenny Jones' first husband. And, boy, we interviewed some ex-loves of Larry King. We had to get extra chairs from the bar next door. We even had one at my high school sweetheart on, which was a surprise to me. My producers always think it's funny to surprise me. So out comes my high school girlfriend, and my wife, of course, was in the audience, so that was very weird. But I'd love to interview some other talk show hosts.
That'd be kind of fun.
I've got a kid, he has on talk show, what's his name, Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
He's on my radio show today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I will be interviewing him, but mostly about Christmas gifts.
Yeah, I've had on this show Springer and Jenny Jones and a number of those kind of hosts, and it's kind of interesting to talk to them and just get a little bit of a idea of where they're coming from when they do their interviews.
Maybe this is just me, but I doubt it because I've heard him on other shows, too. I've interviewed Springer a few times as well. Is it just me, or does he seem a little bit ashamed of what he does for a living?
I think he's very much ashamed of what he does for a living.
You know what's amazing about that to me?
Yeah.
He admits it.
He is reticent about talking about his success and different things because of that particular problem in his head. I think he's still, in his mind, he's still the regal mayor of Cincinnati, you know?
Right, and now he's doing one of the more scandalous shows on TV.
Exactly. I mean, I asked him if he can compare himself to Geraldo and Richard Bay and those kind of people. He said, oh, no, I'm not like them, But he's doing the same kind of stuff, though.
Oh, sure, yeah. Now, Richard, sure he is, but you know what? It's his right, and I'll tell you the truth, Mark. A lot of it has got to be about the money. These jobs, after a certain amount of time, if you can stay on the air, say, 3 or 4 years, you can make a lot of money. And, you know, it'd be hard to turn down that kind of money, because what it is the way, at least, I've talked to a couple of the other new talk show hosts, and the deal nowadays is they pay you very, very, very little. That makes you a big part owner of the show.
Right.
But you won't make a dime from that ownership till at least year 3 or year 4.
Mm-hmm.
If your show stays on that long, you can make like Oprah kind of money, millions of dollars. So if your show does not, you really made no money for a great deal of work. Well, Jerry Springer and my guests would be making a great deal of money now. And I've been broke, and it sucks. You know, being broke is terrible. So who knows what people will do for money. I have no problems with Jerry at all. He's got a good job, and he does it to the best of his ability.
Do you have an ownership deal in yours?
Sure do. That's exactly the deal I have.
Mm. And you think you're going to make the third year?
You know what? I certainly hope so. I'd love to. But I'd like to pay off my house. I live in my dream house. We've done well enough that we've been able to afford the down payment on a home I would never want to leave. And it's probably one of my biggest ambitions in life is to just pay it off, and know no one's ever going to take it away from me and live happily ever after with my wife and daughter.
Mm. That's kind of nice. See, you have a happy ending here.
Yeah, it's the happiest of endings. I mean, it almost seems inappropriate. You know, it would seem like I should have some sort of problem working somewhere, and I don't. Aside from having two jobs is very hard, but I had two jobs when I was a waiter, and it was very hard. I have two great, good jobs, a lovely wife, a lovely home, a lovely daughter. I should have some problems, and currently I don't.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Well, I'm going to work on some. It's getting too sweet around here.
You got to create some, you know.
Yeah.
But, I want to wish you a lot of luck with the show, and obviously, we'll talk again. This is, by the way, your second time on the show. I don't know if you remember, but you were on the show about 3 or 4 years ago talking about, I don't know what you were promoting at the time, but you were on here. We used to play that interview quite a bit, and someone actually stole it because they didn't want to hear it anymore.
those rat bastards. Sorry about that. Well, thanks, Mark. I appreciate the time again, and I appreciate the support.
Take care, and we'll watch you every day at 9 o'clock on Channel 38 here in Boston.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
See you, buddy.
Bye-bye. Danny Bonaducci.